Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 4 this morning. John chapter 4. We're going to read two verses, verse 34 and 35 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read silently. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please stand to your feet this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. And beginning at verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God and the opportunity. It's already been mentioned this morning to be able to be here. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the folks that have tuned in and listened online this morning. God, speak to all our hearts. Help us to hear what you have for us individually today. Father, to accomplish this, we ask you anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches to us. Father, if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray this morning before they leave this room, they would settle that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I'd like you to look at your watch or time device, whatever it is you may have. I have 3 minutes until 12. The service has to be over at noon. And so I just wanted to announce that we will fail miserably. Now this morning, we will. We Baptists are on the clock, you know. 12 o'clock, we have to have lunch. I'm going to ask that you make sure your cell phones are turned off, please, and listen very carefully. It will be shorter this morning because of the lateness of the hour. Brother James took so long singing and everything. It was awful. So we have to get to it. John chapter 4, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for truly they are white unto harvest. Do you see that? But the verse before it is what he's really talking about when he talks about the harvest here. Look in your Bibles this morning, please, would you? Never go to a knife fight without a gun, and never go to church without a Bible. Look at John chapter 4, verse 34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus is talking about God's will for his life. When he starts to talking about the harvest in the next verse, verse 35, say not ye there 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In reality, Jesus is using the harvest here, how that the harvest is white. So when the grain tilts its head over and when it's ripe, it turns color almost. And the ripeness makes the grain look white. But it's harvest time. He's using the analogy of the harvest to talk about God's will. Now, we often use this to talk about missions and the need of the world, of the gospel, and all of that. And that's well, fine, and good, not a problem with that whatsoever. But in reality, what he's really talking about is this. He's using the analogy of how that when a crop is in harvest mode, time to harvest, you have to get it in. And he's talking about how God's will is like a harvest. That when it's time, then it's time to do God's will. And just as there is a harvest, the autumn, fall part of the season is a great harvest time around the world, as a matter of fact. One thing's for certain, you have a crop in the field, it has to get in. You can't just look at it. You have to harvest it. It has to come in. And Jesus is pressing the importance here of the will of God for a person's life, and specifically his life. Now I want you to listen to me very carefully this morning. I don't know how old I was. I don't even remember the name of the preacher who made this statement. But when he did it, it absolutely struck my life in such a way that I've never forgotten it. And that is, he made this very simple but important statement. I heard it for the first time anyway. He said, God has a plan for your life. And that plan is God's will for your life. And God designed a plan just for you. And I thought to myself, That's amazing. Now, again, I don't know how old I was. I'm pretty sure I was young. And ever since that day, the will of God has always done, has always held something in my heart and in my life. I've always wanted to know and to do whatever that was that God had for me. To think that the God of the universe, ladies and gentlemen, looks down on 7.2 billion people on this planet who are alive today, right now, and has designed a plan for every one of those 7.2 billion people. And all the billions prior to them, and however many more live after that, God, in His infinite, amazing, sovereign grace, has designed a plan for each and every one of those people. And my friend, He has designed a plan for your life. Now, I would venture to say, if you've been to church very much, that's not news to you. You've heard about God's will. You've probably heard that there is the will of God that applies to everyone. Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire is that every person would be saved. Is every person going to be saved? No. Is there universal salvation whereby everybody is saved because Jesus? No, that's not true. Salvation is available to everyone. That's why it says, listen, that's why it says God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Repentance is the step that is taken before salvation. Repentance is an acknowledgement that I'm going the wrong way and I turn to Christ and accept Him as my Savior. God's not willing that anybody should miss that step in their life. So that's God's will for everybody. God's will for everyone is that everyone have the opportunity to come to Christ. That's why Jesus' death on the cross, burial, and resurrection was for everyone. 1 John chapter 2, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died for everybody. We are not Calvinists. We do not believe there's a limited atonement that Jesus paid for. That's a Protestant doctrine that needs to get out of our Baptist churches today. We believe Jesus' death was for everybody. That's a propitiation. That's a payment for each and every soul. But that does not mean each and every soul has salvation because it's been paid for. Each person must then come to God as themselves and accept Christ individually, one at a time. You personally have to receive Him as His as your Savior. So there's God's will for everyone. Then there is God's will for each of His children. That's the plan we're talking about this morning, whereby once you become a child of God, see, He has this plan for you. Now, let me tell you something about the will of God this morning. It is not just for this life. This plan of God is for this life and the next. His plan, His will for your life encompasses forever, from the moment of your salvation, and it never ends. Now, I want us to be thinking about God's will for our life here and now in this life. And that plan He's drawn up and designed for you, my friend, is amazing. It has everything in it you could possibly imagine and probably some parts you wish you didn't know. But it's all part of His plan. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. His goal with the will of God is to make you like Jesus. That's going to take you through a lot of things in life, but He's got a plan, you see. Now look, the way that you know the will of God is very simple. I remember as a young man, my older brother, Jack, Bud, we called him, handed me a book one day. It was about that thick, and the title of the book was How to Know the Will of God. He said, you got to read this book. It'll help you so much about how to know the will of God. And I started to thumb through it some, and I looked at it, and this guy was very eloquent, long-winded, and I thought, wow, I hope it's not that complicated. And it isn't. You know how you know the will of God? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. To know the will of God, you've got to yield yourself to Him. Give yourself like a sacrifice offering, a complete yieldedness to the Lord. And number two, you've got to do something with the book that He wrote. God's will is God's word. as you live the Word of God that you know, yield it to Him to do so, you'll know what God's will for your life is. It's that simple. You don't need a book that thick. You already got one that thick. It's called the Bible. You follow that book as you know. Let that Word be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, and He will lead you down the road that He wants you to go. And you'll know the will of God. So I'd like to know what's going on 10 years from now. No, you don't. You just need to know enough to live for today. And tomorrow live for that day. Sufficient unto the days of the evil thereof. So then, see, there is God's will for everyone. Then there's God's will for each of His children. And then there is God's will that has your name on it. His plan just for you. Now, folks, how could we be casual about that? How in the world would we want to live and not know what that plan is? For Mike Johnson, I believe and know in all my heart this morning that I'm exactly in the center of that plan God made for me. That I'm doing what the Creator of this universe created me for. And I'm doing that. You say, well, that's because you're a preacher. No, it's because I'm in the will of God for my life. And God's will for my life happens to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A preacher of the Word of God. A pastor of a local New Testament, independent, fundamental, soul winning, separated, King James Bible preaching, Hellfire and Damnation Baptist Church. That's God's will for my life. I know that. I pillow my head at night and I have to wonder why I'm here, what I'm alive for, what my reason on earth is. No, I know what I'm doing. But now, wait a minute. That's not because I'm in the ministry. It's because I'm in the will of God. I stayed with the Bible long enough to find out what that is. And I am telling you this morning, dear people, it is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect, just like Romans 12:2 says. But you should know that also. A businessman, a layman, a layperson, a laywoman, a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa, doesn't make a difference. You should know what that you're living in the purpose of God for your life. So when Jesus used the harvest here and talking about His will, think about the harvest for a moment and consider what He's trying to teach us about God's will for each of us. Here it is. He's trying to teach us with the harvest and the will of God analogy that the will of God is important. Look, no harvest, no food, no food, no life. It's that simple. The fields are white, all ready to harvest, Jesus said. Got to get that crop in now because if we don't, there'll be nothing to eat. And without food, there's no life. And that's how we need to look at the will of God. It is a matter of life and death for us and for others too. And just I'll show you in a moment. See, we think of the will of God as one of those optional things. Well, there's my plan, there's God's plan, and then there's just whatever happens. And most people live in the whatever happens plan. I just get up, I do what I do, I go to bed, I go up and I do what I do, and whatever happens, it just happens. Our Spanish-speaking friends call it es lo que es. It is what it is. You just do what you do. I mean, come on, really. Is there really this great plan in life? Look at me carefully. There are too many people who are watching the field, looking at the harvest of the will of God for their lives, like and just if it's okay if you do that, but not. What you need to do is look at it like a farmer looks at his crop, life or death. I have to get this in. It has to take place. If it doesn't, life will not take place. Someone, I'm going to lose. I'll suffer great loss if I don't get this in. The fields are wide unto harvest, Jesus said. Get your eyes on that now. That's how you need to look at the will of God. It's life or death. It's not like, well, and too many Christians today are considering, well, as long as I'm not doing anything bad, that's good. No, that's not good. You've got to do God's will. Hey, look at me. You can do right and still miss the will of God, you know. Just because you do what you want, even though it's not bad. Well, I'm not going to hurt anybody. I'm not going to do anything bad. Thank you that you're not going to hurt anybody. Thank you that you're not going to commit some horrible crime. Thank you that you're not going to do drugs. Thank you that you're not going to be a drunk. Thank you that you're not going to live an immoral lifestyle. Thank you, thank you, thank you. 10,000 times thank you. But that's not the plan. The plan is to do what He put you on this earth to do. There's a reason you live and breathe, child of God, after you get saved. And that reason is to do His will. When Jesus was here in John 4, the disciples had gone into the city to get something for them to eat. When they came back, they said, Lord, we have something for you. He goes, no, that's not what I want. And that's not what I live for. I don't even live for the next meal. I live to do the will of Him that sent me and put me on this earth to do. Jesus was consumed with the thought of how important important it was to do God's will for his life. So then he turned to a harvest field and he said, you see that? That's life and death out there, gentlemen. That's how important the will of God is. That's how important it is you do God's will. I don't want to just live and die. I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just make a living. I don't want to just have a roof over my head and clothes on my back. I don't want to just be alive and live and not do bad and kind of help a few people and drop dead. I don't want to do that. I want to fulfill the plan for which I was created. There's a reason why I was conceived in the womb of my mother. There's a reason why I live and I breathe. There's a reason why I'm on this earth. And there's a reason why you're here. And we need to see that reason as the will of God and how important it is. It's like life and death. And excuse me, life and death is not optional. Well, I can do what I want, and then if it all turns out okay, I'm sure God will be happy with that. Then why did he draw up a plan for you? Haven't you ever done that as a parent before? Told your kids what to do, and they did the opposite of it, and you say, what? And they go, well, Dad, they go, hey, then why did I do? I told you what to do. I told you what to do, and it didn't turn out, did it? No, because you didn't do what I told you. So why in the world did I even tell you anything? Our God in heaven must look down at us sometimes as his children and say, well, don't they understand? It's like a harvest. If it doesn't come in, no food, no life. It's life or death. I must know the will of God for my life. And so should you. That's how important it is. He wanted us to see his will as the harvest also because he wanted us to understand we need to see the need of doing God's will. Every crop that is harvested, a portion of it, is usually kept for future crop. So the harvest would bring in not only what was needed to sustain life, but the harvest would bring in and a certain portion of it would be kept aside so that it could be planted or rooted again for future crop. See, we think of God's will as what does it mean to me and my job now? What does it mean to me and my life now? What does it mean about what I am now? What does it mean about what I get now? And that's what we think. We got very short visionary look at life. See, you need to see the need of the will of God. And here's why. It's like a harvest that prepares for the next harvest. If you do God's will for your life, don't you understand he is preparing your life and for the lives of others? It's not just about me. I'm sorry. It's not just about my life and what I get. Christians will resist the will of God because they're afraid to give up something. What will I lose? What do I not get to do? Oh, I don't want to do that because I have my own plan for my life. Don't you understand God's will is not just for you. It is to help you, to help others do what God wants them to do also. An analogy here. 31 years ago, more than 31 years ago, this church did not exist. And I'm not talking about the buildings. I'm talking about this church. More than 31 years ago, there was no Shasta Baptist Church. God's will was that this pastor and his wife and family would come and start this church over 31 years ago. Now look at me. What would it be like if I decided when I was in Bible college that I was going to do my will? Not bad, not wrong. I was just going to do my will. And I didn't pay attention to God's leading and direction about what he would want me to do for my life. Because it was my life and I'll do what I want. That you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. And look at the amount of faces here today. How many lives are touched and affected? I'm not talking about me now. I'm just talking about God's will that you get created and intended to have this church exist. Now that's one person, Mike Johnson, affecting your life. Now, you think about that for a moment and how many lives you touch and affect by whether or not you do God's will for your life. That's how important it is, and that's the great need of it. We're preparing. If we'll do God's will, God will use your life to impact many others. And if you don't, then those lives are not touched, and those lives are not affected for God. It's big, folks. This thing about the will of God, it's huge. It boggles my mind to think that God designed a plan for Michael Ray Johnson, born September 12th. Write that down. Born September the 12th, 1953. Yes, I look younger. September the 12th, 1953. Born on that day, God designed a plan for my life and how it would impact and affect and touch other people's lives. That's amazing when you think about that. And how he took that one plan, and listen to me, and then put it in his great plan of the ages for everyone else. You're a part of that, friend. If you're a child of God this morning, you're a part of that. Don't miss that now. There is a great need for God's people to do God's will for their life, because that's how God accomplishes his plan for all. We read about people whose lives impacted many. And we think, well, I'll probably never do that. What about a man named John Kimball, who was a Sunday school teacher? Very simple man. Taught a Sunday school class of young men in his church. Something like the young professionals class that Brother Allen teaches here. And that young man was in that class was a young man named Dwight, who came and Dwight got was in his class. And after talking with this young man, young businessman, found out that Dwight was not saved. So he would go by his shoe store where he worked every day, get up the courage to try to witness to this young man. Finally, one day on his lunch break, he asked him, said, Dwight, could I talk to you about something? They stepped aside for a moment, and John Kimball led this young man named Dwight to Christ. Sunday school class, one young man, right? That was D.L. Moody, who saw a million people come to Christ in his lifetime. We don't know anybody else John Kimball ever led to Christ, no one else. We don't know anything else about his life, what he ever did, said, never wrote any books, never accomplished anything, but he led one man who led a million people to Christ in his lifetime. In a day of no electronic means whatsoever, crossed this oceans twice and brought England and Europe and America closer to God through his preaching and ministry and what he did. And that's not bad for one guy. You get the picture? Do you see the need to do God's will? It's the harvest. It's white. It's ready to come in. And if we don't get it in, then the future is affected. The harvest and the will of God also is don't miss the time to do God's will. This is very important. Don't miss the time. Here it is. You have a window of opportunity to harvest a crop, and then you lose it. It won't wait for you. Now, friend, I want to tell you something this morning. You need to understand something today. You may think, well, I'll get around to it when I want. It may not be there when you want. The church of Philadelphia in the book of Revelation, Jesus, the Bible says, I have set before you an open door. I open it and no man closes it. I close it and no man opens it. And that church of Philadelphia was the church of the open door of God's opportunity. God's will for your life is like an open door. You have to take it when he opens it. You have to understand something. Say, well, I didn't know anything about it. Now I'm grown up and I'm an adult or a senior. What do I do? Then you know now. Now the door's open. Now the plan must take place. It doesn't make a difference how old a person is. I'm saying this. If the will of God is available to you, and it is, when it's time and you know you do not walk through it, you do not have a guarantee it'll be there when you want to. You say, boy, I'm glad you're telling that to these young people, Pastor Johnson. They need to know that in their life. Well, they do. But so do you. I have an opportunity to do God's will with my life. I don't want to miss the time of it. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. See, now you're getting me nervous, Pastor Johnson. I hope I am, because the fields are white to harvest. The will of God must be done. It's time for you to do what God put you on this earth to do and fulfill that plan. The last thing about the harvest and the will of God is this. It's also showing us how that there's provision in the will of God. Grain doesn't jump off the field into the barn and make a loaf of bread. It doesn't work like that. You got to get it in. Ah, but once you do, there is provision. You know the story of the little red hen? Well, there's a lot of great truth in that little story of the little red hen, who wanted all her little friends to help her put the seed in the ground, Turkey Lurkey and Ducky Lucky. They didn't want to bother putting the seed in the ground. They're too busy, so she planted it herself. Then who'll help me with my water the seed and take care of my crop? Turkey Lurkey, Ducky Lucky, So she did that. Then the grain grew, and she was, who will help me harvest my grain? Turkey Lurkey, Ducky Lucky, She brought the grain in and ground it up and made bread. And she said, now, who would like to help me? Oh, yeah. Turkey Lurkey and Ducky Lucky showed up for some bread. And she said, no. You wouldn't help me plant it. You wouldn't help me take care of it. Don't you understand? Look at me. The provision of God for our lives is in the will of God. Well, I'm doing okay without the will of God. Well, then you're scratching and clawing, I guarantee you. And you'll never get out of it what you put into it. You know what's incredible to me? Is God, like this thing about tithing and giving to the Lord's work. God can make 9/10 go further than 10/10. Nobody can do that. Nobody. Nobody but God. It's amazing how God provides for the needs of His children when we're in the will of God. He'll put out handfuls of purpose for you. If you're a prophet, He'll send bread, ravens to bring bread and flesh in the evening, and a widow outside the city of Zarephath. It's amazing how God provides for things. We started this church at the beginning. We were independent Baptists. We weren't part of a denominational body of any kind. None. And we came here to start this church. We started it by faith. We had to pray down every nickel, every dime, every bit of provision to help our family to stay alive and start this church. And I'm here to testify that the God of heaven, ladies and gentlemen, can provide for the will of God when a person's in the center of that will. So amazing things take place. Now, did we live like kings? No. But look at me. Do you think I'm starving to death either? That ain't a virus, bro. Let me tell you something right now. That's a chicken graveyard right there. You think God's not taking care of me even now? Okay, so I don't have the stuff that some people have. But excuse me, but I'll take what's provided. One guy said, well, you're just living from the hand to mouth. I said, yes, his hand, my mouth. You leave the will of God out, you're on your own. Good luck, because that's what you're going to need. You're going to scratch and claw and bang your head against the wall of life and wonder, why can't I get better? Why can't I do that? Why doesn't the will of God see that harvest when it comes in that provided for the one who did the harvesting? And God's will is in the provision of His will. He will take care of you. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't mean He'll give you everything you ever wanted, but He will make sure you got what you need, my friend. And He'll take care of that. God's in the will of God is where the provision of God is. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.